This podcast is brought to you by Voice and Vision, bringing help, hope, and healing to individuals, families, and communities affected by mental illness, addictions, and disabilities in southeastern Pennsylvania. Financial support for this podcast is provided by a Veterans Trust Fund grant from the Pennsylvania Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
Welcome to Untold Valor, a podcast with a unique focus on veterans, featuring stories of courage, recovery, perseverance, and strength. Listen to hear veterans share their perspectives on what it's like to battle mental health challenges, combat addictions, and overcome other adversities unique to those who have served.
Welcome into another edition of Untold Valor, where we share the stories of veterans and some of the things that they experienced during and after service. And we're very excited to have Jonathan Bittner join us here. I guess we'll call him John. He's fine either way, but we're going to spend a little time. He's actually going to do two episodes with us here on Untold Valor. We're going to start with just his story, a little bit about him, and just what's been going on for him and how this it kind of ties into what we do here on the podcast. And then we're all going to also share some resources and have a conversation on another episode about his time with Compere Corps and how that is a resource for veterans as well. So first of all, Jonathan, thanks for joining me. We appreciate it. Reverend Ben's here as well, so thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, absolutely. Reverend Ben, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. Looking forward to having a conversation. Heard a lot about Jonathan here, so let's jump in and just tell us a little bit about your time. You know, which branch of the service were you in? How long were you in? And just share some of your story with us.
So I guess it all starts back. I enlisted into the Army National Guard in 2005, my senior year of high school. I ended up shipping off to boot camp or basic training June of 2006 and got done all my training by November. And then I was home for, I wouldn't even say a year before I started training up to go to Afghanistan. 2007, the end of 2007, and then officially deployed 2008.
Gotcha. And so when you went through basic and everything, so you deployed to Afghanistan, Iraq?
Yes, Afghanistan.
Okay. And so tell us a little bit about your time there. How long did you serve?
Okay. So my time, I guess I'll just start off with the job. I was tasked to bodyguard the chaplain. It's an interesting job. It's not one that people actually think about too often. Chaplains are considered to be non-combatants, so they do not carry weapons. It's against the Geneva Convention. And so they're typically, I guess it just depends on what branch of service. The Army, Air Force, and Navy all have chaplains. The Marine Corps uses Navy chaplains, but more specifically from my experience, I was tasked up with an Army chaplain and I was his bodyguard. I'm just kind of looking at it as personal protection for the chaplain. He was tasked with traveling to all the bases in Afghanistan where our battalion was stationed. If I can remember correctly, I believe there was about 15 different FOBs, which stands for forward operating bases, and also a couple outposts. So we were tasked to traveling to them so he could do services for the soldiers. And then we were also tasked to visiting the wounded and the dying in the hospitals.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot. Reverend Ben, I'm sure, you know, tasked as bodyguarding the chaplain. I know you weren't a chaplain at that time, but I'm sure you can appreciate that.
Yes, I wish I had a bodyguard now, but being a pastor. But even with that, Jonathan, I know you saw some things and you were around some things that stuck with you for life, as I did when I was in Beirut. So there's some things that even if you're not actually on the front line, that you saw. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so there's definitely a lot. You know, it's hard for me to think about one experience that really stands out to me, because just really a mix of various experiences. But a few of them that really stands out to me is losing personal friends who were killed. One specifically, a very close friend of mine, Specialist Derek Holland, who was killed in an IED strike. And then a couple months later, I had another very good friend. He had ended up taking his life over there on my base, and unfortunately being part of that situation surrounding that, and then having to deal with the aftermath of that. Other experiences were we did come under fire several times, probably more than several. Just being experienced and seeing combat in that way. I was also do missions with the infantry guys just to kind of go out with them to go see different surroundings. And so that kind of came with its own challenges and, you know, excitement at times. Another experience stands out to me is some of the huge battles that took place during my time in Afghanistan. One specifically being the Battle of Wanat, where it ended up the 173rd Airborne came under attack by several hundred Taliban. One night they ended up losing nine of their soldiers. The sad thing about that, and what really stands out to me the most, was this was during the end of their deployment, where they had 2 weeks left. Half the brigade was already back in Italy and Germany, and these guys were still left, and they were going to head home in 2 weeks. And then this situation happened. They lost those guys with 2 weeks to go.
Oh, geez.
And that's kind of the hard part. And it's one of the things that I struggle with the most over there was, you know, with all the loss that takes place, you know, you can imagine, you know, it's war, it's combat, people are dying, young people are dying. Just one of the questions that really took me a while to kind of grasp and get a hold of was just that thought of somebody is here 1 minute, breathing, laughing, crying, whatever it is, and then a couple seconds later, they're gone. So that's something that actually really probably stands out the most to me. Just looking at all the losses that I experienced over there was how could somebody be so alive but then not be in a split second?
Well,
I can relate to that experience. I really can.
Yeah, and it's tough to deal with, clearly. And so did you find, I guess, part of coming on and talking with us here on the podcast, Jonathan, is sharing the stories and the experiences and problems that maybe develop from time in service, and then how to reach out and get help. And we're going to talk again on another episode about some of your experience with CompHear and actually even working with the program. Did you wind up coming back and suffering from some PTSD? Did you have some struggles dealing with that? And how were you able to work through some of those challenges?
Well, to be honest, I thought I came back perfectly normal.
Okay.
You know, which I have found out there is no such thing as normal after all these years. But I did struggle. I struggled. I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, I would say, probably less than a year after I returned home. I noticed that there was some issues going on. I was drinking a lot. I ended up going to the VA, seeing a psychologist and a psychiatrist there. I was originally, you know, just going just to get a checkup and see what was going on.
Right.
And then they knew something else was going on. And eventually it came out that I was struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder. I was diagnosed with that along with major depressive disorder and then eventually a traumatic brain injury.
Oh, wow. And so you mentioned the drinking. A lot of veterans obviously turn to, my best friend, same thing. He turned to alcoholism, and Reverend Ben has some experience on that side of the fence as well. And often veterans have trouble recognizing it or acknowledging it and then where to turn for help. Did you kind of find some of those same experiences?
Yes, I definitely did. A psychologist I knew once told me alcohol is probably one of the best medications that there is, but they haven't been able to find the proper dosage yet. and it's so true, because like we drink, or at least veterans in general, they come back and some of them drink very heavily to forget things. You know, it's great for that, but then it turns into other issues. And for me, I ended up going to an inpatient. Well, before I went to inpatient treatment, I ended up at a vet center here in Montgomery County where I live. I saw a therapist for a while, and it just got to the point where he told me, look, there's nothing else that I can do for you. You need a higher level of care. And he referred me to the Coatesville VA Hospital, to their post-traumatic stress disorder program, which was at the time, you know, one of the best places in the country to go get treatment for this. And that's where I ended up. I believe it was 2010 was my first stint there. That first year, I was in and out of that program every couple months. I would be there for about 2 months, get out for a month or two, head right back into treatment again. Mm. And that really continued, I would say, for the next 5 years, where we would call it a frequent flyer. So I'd be in and out of treatment, but just learning how to put my life back together and understand that what I went through was having an effect on me. So I, after those 5 years, things got a little bit better and I was able to cope.
John, at what point did you find that a seed was planted in you to surrender to recovery and to get your life together?
It took a while for me to understand that the choices that I was making was causing some of the other mental health issues. And it really took me, I would say, a couple of years to get to that point in my life where, and to kind of like maybe switch focus a little bit on that question, it was like there was that combat trauma that I experienced, but then there was also trauma that I had experienced in inpatient treatment where friends that I had made in the program ended up passing away, whether they were overdosing on drugs. Suicide was another thing. So it took a couple losses of these guys that I knew and was really good friends with in treatment for me to understand that that wasn't the way to go. So it was that more of that trauma, more loss that really kind of opened my eyes to be like, well, this isn't what I want to happen to myself. So I have to start making better choices.
It's amazing what sometimes it takes. And so is that where you kind of, once you started to get yourself back on track, is that when you felt the need to start maybe helping others? I know we're going to spend some time again on the next or on a future episode talking about that. But at some point when you felt healthy and, you know, in a better state, did you kind of feel that need to share that experience or that journey or how you even got there?
So, and I think that's a very good question. So I actually felt that need before I was healthy, okay, which ended up not being healthy. Because I would focus on helping so many others and not focusing on myself.
Sure, yeah.
And so when I would focus on others, I would feel good for a while. I stopped doing what I was supposed to do and ended up in the situation that I was before. But it wasn't until I really got it, I was able to spend some time focusing on myself, building myself back up, that I got to that point where I need to start stepping out and helping other people. I was involved in various organizations, heavily involved in the Veterans of Foreign Wars, made it all the way up to a state level, you know, working with student veterans. I was also at the time working for a different nonprofit, a veterans nonprofit that worked on housing for homeless vets or veterans that were transitioning out of the military. So that's where I really got my start in helping the veteran community.
Yeah, Jonathan, I could identify with a lot of your story because I also know that once we start helping others, it kind of takes our problems away. And to me, that's the key to recovery, is helping somebody else. And I really commend you on your service and your recovery. As I'm looking at your wall behind, yes, you have some accomplishments.
Yeah, so I like to say, for those obviously who are listening to this can't see, but the wall behind me has a degree, diplomas, certifications. So half the wall I say is mine, the other half is my wife's. So we are actually both right now, both mental health therapists.
Oh.
And so I ended up, you know, I may be skipping ahead a little bit, but I ended up going back to school in 2017 after being a 6-time college dropout. Went to school early on in my recovery process. That didn't really work out too well, but I felt this need at that time that I wasn't anybody without a piece of paper saying I accomplished something in school. And that was a feeling that really lasted with me for quite a while. And then 2017, I took the plunge for the seventh time. And I figured if it didn't work this time, I was good with just calling it quits. But I really fell in love through those years of being in inpatient treatment, working with this amazing psychologist at the Coatesville VA hospital. Just working with her, I just developed this passion for psychology and had the seed planted in me of this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And it wasn't, you know, that seed didn't blossom immediately, but the better that I became mentally and physically, it was now's the time that I need to do this. So 2017, I ended up going back to school. Got my bachelor's degree in psychology, went on, got my master's degree in clinical and counseling psychology with a trauma focus. And I am currently in a doctor of psychology program right now. We call it a PsyD, and I'm working on that to become a clinical psychologist.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I mean, it's truly amazing. You know, everybody's situation is different. So, Jonathan, as you mentioned, you're kind of starting to skip ahead. So we'll start to wrap this one up so we can get more of your story on the that aspect of things. But we often try to wrap this up by saying, as a veteran and knowing that you were having a problem, trying to figure out how to ask for help or get help, that's a challenge for many veterans. Some can find it easy and some struggle to ask for help, right? To reach out and just find a place, an avenue to go. A message, a thought, something you'd like to share from your own personal experience and to share with others who might be struggling with the same thing.
So for me, I guess the biggest word of wisdom that I would give somebody is don't give up. Now, as long as that we're breathing, we wake up the next morning, there's still hope. You know, and that's important to understand because it's like, as long as we're still breathing, there's a chance that something can change for the good. And so even just asking for help can be difficult for many, especially veterans. We're kind of stuck in our heads sometimes. We're very stubborn. My wife will be the first one to tell you that. But that stubbornness can either hinder us or help us. And it's like learning how to make that stubbornness help us. Because if we just go out, take the chance, ask for help, and start getting that help, then we can turn that stubbornness into our recovery process. Mm. So again, as long as you have breath in your lungs, there's still hope that something is going to change.
Yeah. One step at a time, right? Those things exist for a reason, right? If we can just take that one step forward, it could make all the difference. Well, certainly thank you so much for your time on here. Reverend Ben, I know you always like to thank the veterans as well. Anything before we go?
No, I just want to thank you so much for your time and for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, we certainly appreciate it. And of course, if you're listening to this, you've got some questions, you need some help, you're not sure where to turn, or you're ready to ask for help, we offer a lot of resources here at the end of the podcast in just a second. You'll hear those, so stay tuned for that and reach out to the team at Voice and Vision Inc. or at Compeer Core as well. So there's just lots of different resources that we have available for you. So just definitely make sure you reach out and get some help. This has been another episode of Untold Valor, and we'll catch you next time. You've been listening to Untold Valor by Voice and Vision. We hope you found the information and resources discussed today helpful. As always, thank you for listening and for your support. Remember to stay connected with us through our various social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Don't forget to visit the website, voiceandvisioninc.org. That's voiceandvisioninc.org, where you can sign up for our blog and find free resources and information on upcoming events, webinars, workshops, and get support. You can also access our free help and hope guide for individuals and families struggling with substance use and addiction. If someone you know is struggling, please reach out for help because you and your life matter. Remember, the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is available to you at any time by dialing 988. We are all ambassadors of hope and recovery. And if you want to share your story, please contact us. Compeer Corps is also looking for veteran mentor volunteers and veteran participants. To find out more information about Compeer Corps, please call 610-541-0790. That's 610-541-0790. You can find all the links and contact information for the resources mentioned on today's episode by checking the description in the show notes section of your app. Thank you again for tuning in and for your support. Until next time, this has been Untold Valor.